නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ නමෝ තස්සේ භගවතෝ අරහතෝ සම්මා සම්බුද්දස්සේ. So as you all know, we were discussing Bahudhatuka Sutta, where literally it means many kinds of elements. But here, not only the elements, Buddha explained few more things, particularly which are helpful to develop the wisdom. The discussion starts when he is giving a kind of a comment related to the nature of monks that he is expecting. That he is asking that the monks to be fairly wise, fairly inquirers, not merely going to the instincts or going to some impulsive reactions. Rather, they have to be, or his followers to be, inquirers, and they have to be wise. So the whole thing happened because he made a kind of a comment. Whatever fear arises in this world, it can happen because of a fool, but not because of a wise person. Similarly, if there is any trouble happens in this world, it can happen because of a fool, a bad person, not because of a wise person. Similarly, if there is any calamity happens, it can happen because of a fool, but not because of a wise person. So the request from the Buddha in that sense is to be wise, and again to be inquirers. Pandita bhavissama vimansakati evang hivo bhikkave sikkitabbanti. So you should be wise, you should be again inquirers. So then Venerable Ananda is asking the valid question, how one can become wise and how one can be an inquirer. At that moment Buddha gave four areas for us to investigate so that one can become wise. Dhatu kusalocha hoti, ayatana kusalocha hoti, paticca samuppada kusalocha hoti, thana thana kusalocha hoti. So one has to be skilled in the dhatu, the elements, skilled in the bases, then skilled in the dependent origination, and then skilled in what is possible and what is impossible. Thana thana kusalocha hoti. So we already have discussed the first three, that is dhatu kusala, the skilled in elements, ayatana kusala, the skilled in the basis, and paticcasamuppada kusala, that is the skilled in dependent origination. So now we can go to the last one, that is thana thana kusalocha hoti, skilled in what is possible and what is impossible. Kittavatapana bhande thana thana kusalo bhikkhuti alang vachanayati. And sir, how a bhikkhu can be called skilled in what is possible and what is impossible. So here actually it's a very interesting area also, because these are very much like facts into the world, and it is coming again kind of from a mundane point of view, or sometimes in a way kind of a theoretical point of view. And this seems to like how things are happening in the world. So there are certain rules, very much like natural rules, where Buddha wants to highlight, then we better ponder, we better understand. So we'll start with the first one. Kittavatapana bhande thana thana kusalo bhikkhuti alang vachanayati. So that answer to Venerable Ananda's question, idhananda bhikkhu atthanametan anavakaso yan ditti sampanno puggalo kanchi sankharang nichchato upagacchayya netan thanang vijjatiti pajanati. So Buddha mentioned a ditti sampanna puggala, that means a person with correct wisdom, or correct we can say who has gone through some practice, who has already attained at least the sotapanna, who is possessing the right view, and he is a noble person now, he is unable to take any sankhara as permanent, any say formation as permanent. Thananchako etang vijjati yang putujjano kanchi sankharanam nicchato upagacchayya thanametam vijjati iti pajanati. But anyway, it is possible an ordinary person, uninstructed worldly person, to take sankharas, the formations, to be permanent. Now this is related to practice in one sense, that as we are practicing, basically we know that we are keeping our attention to various bodily phenomena, to various feelings, to various mental phenomena. All that comes under this category. All are in general can be considered as sankhara. The sankhara are the sankata phenomena. So though they are the conditioned phenomena, they already are formed or born, arised, and they are conditioned. If something is conditioned, they have the nature to arise. And they arise not by themselves. There may be various reasons, causes. As a result of that, they arise. And once they arise, they will pass away. They can't stay for long or they can't stay forever. Definitely, they will pass away. It's a kind of a universal law. Here we are trying to study. We have heard it from the Buddha, but practically we need to observe it again and again through our practice, and that is what one area of our vipassana is dealing with. First, we need to prepare a fair amount of mindfulness, develop a fair amount of mindfulness, and again have kind of a balanced mind, and then to concentration, so that we can maintain that concentrated mind for a long time. So once these skills are developed, then we can focus our attention to a particular phenomena, either bodily phenomena, feelings, or mental phenomena. Now we can observe how they behave. So if they are impermanent, they have to behave the way they are properly behaving. So that is their natural characteristic. That is how they are destined to behave. It is not that we are doing it, it is not someone else is doing it. That is their characteristics. It's a kind of an inherent characteristic. So while we observe like that for a long, long time, so we get fairly convinced about it. It is not superficially, it is not through the book or through the hearsay. Now one is fairly convinced by seeing. Now this seeing is fairly a kind of direct experience, and you are not using any instruments, rather you have your own faculties already developed, and now you being convinced, and one day assume that you are having enough conviction, enough understanding, then the mind get even released. And with such a understanding, if you are continuing, there may be defilements ultimately completely cut off. One attain what we call a noble lineage. Now that person to again consider any kind of sankhara, any kind of formation, either bodily formation, verbal formation, mental formation, to be permanent is impossible. So this is a kind of a very interesting way that it is put here. So a noble person will never take any formation to be permanent, because he has seen it, because he has experienced it, because he has investigated it for a long time, and he has no doubt about it. He know that whatever condition, whatever they have arisen, so they definitely will pass away, they'll change, those will never be permanent. So this is a kind of a fact. Now Buddha is talking here, dittisampanna puggala, a person with the right view, will never take a formation to be permanent. But anyway, a worldly person might take formations to be permanent, but a noble person will never take formation to be permanent. So this is the first thing. So accordingly, you can recognize the second and the third. Second one is talking about the dukkha part. Atthanametam anavakaso yang dittisampanno pungalo kanchi sankharanam sukato upagacchayya netan thanang vijjati iti pajanati. So that means it is impossible It cannot happen that a person possessing right view could treat any formation as pleasurable. So, during his observation, further and further observation, he may understand that whatever the phenomena, they are being tormented, they are being tortured by this principle of impermanence. There is no way to overcome it. There is no way to escape from it. It's a kind of a torture. So always oppressed by this so-called impermanence, the law of impermanence. It is kind of a universal truth. So then he realized, okay, it is suffering because you can't have anything permanent. And if one state you consider as pleasurable, next moment or after a while, it will turn to be different because of the rule of the impermanence. And now it might not be really pleasurable. It can be kind of unsatisfactory with respect to the previous satisfactory state. So likewise, all the different phenomena, whatever the formation, is subject to change. As a result of that, it is actually going to be suffering, will not provide a lasting happiness, which will be unsatisfactory. So a person with such understanding will never take any formation to be permanently happy, permanently pleasurable. But anyway, Thanancha ko etang vijjati yang putujjano kanchi dhammanang kanchi dhammang sukato upagacheya thanametang vijjati iti pajanati. So anyway, the worldly person, uninstructed person, can take any formation to be permanent and any formation to be satisfactory, or we can say pleasurable, because he haven't done a comprehensive observation. He is not yet convinced about their behavior. So there is a possibility that he would take a formation to be permanent and again it to be a pleasurable one. Similarly, අට්ඨානමේතං අනවකාසෝයං දිටිසම්පන්නෝ පුද්ගලෝ කංචි ධම්මං අත්තත උපගච්ඡෙය නේතං ඨානං උජ්ජති ඉති පජානාති. Similarly, the same person, mean the noble person, will never take anything to be atta, to be kind of a self. So basically he has understood the non-self characteristic. So things are inherently impermanent, continuously going through certain kind of a change. There is no escape. So there can't be any permanent self either then. There can't be any unchanging essence, because everything is changing. And further investigation helps him to understand there is no any inner core, any kind of a nucleus which is permanent, unchanging, everlasting. There is no such inner core. Inherently, they are empty, hollow, and essenceless. And so they are non-self. So when he has such understanding, so he will determine, okay, whatever the condition phenomena have this nature, which are impermanent, unsatisfactory, and non-self. Now again, an interesting observation here is that the previously it is mentioned sankharanam. Sankharam nichato, sankharam sukato, and sankharam nichato and sukato. But here dhammam attato. So that is an interesting discussion on this factor. Why Buddha use for anicca dukkha sankhara, and then for anatta the dhamma? Probably the very interesting dhammapada verses, sabbe sankhara anicchati yada panyaya passati. Similarly, sabbe sankhara dukkhati yada panyaya passati. Rather than telling sabbe sankhara anattati, we used to say sabbe dhamma anattati. So why are we using dhamma there instead of sankhara? That's a kind of a discussion typically sometimes people even argue. So one valid explanation is that here the anatta characteristic is even valid for any kind of convention, any kind of even supramundane realities. Say for example, typically we consider Nibbana as supramundane. It is not a sankata, it is not a conditioned phenomena. It is the unconditioned. Nibbana is unconditioned. So Nibbana also considered as anatta. It is not an atta. So Nibbana is also can be included under the term Dhamma, therefore. So once we introduce the term Dhamma, it includes not only the conditioned phenomena, even the unconditioned Nibbana. So to include everything, then we can introduce the term Dhamma, Sabbe Dhamma Anattati. So all the conditioned or unconditioned phenomena, we can call, they are non-self. So a person with right view will never take any of the Dhammas to be Atta. He understands they are Anatta, they are non-self. But Thananca ko etang vijjati yam putujjano. Kanchi dhammang attato upagacchaya thanametang vijjati. But anyway, a worldly person, uninstructed person, might take any of these things to be with the self. Now these three are related to the understanding of a noble person. So basically, so as a kind of a rule, now Buddha introduces, so a person who has thorough understanding, proper understanding, correct wisdom, will take all sankharas to be impermanent, all sankharas to be unsatisfactory, and all dhammas to be non-self. Now we are going to another area. So that is his behavior in a way. So these are also impossible for the one with right view to conduct. Atthanametang anavakaso yang dittisampanno puggalo matarang jivita voropeya netan thanang vijjati iti pajanati. So it is impossible, it cannot happen that a person possessing right view could deprive his mother of life. He can't do matricide. It is impossible. Because you know, there are five heinous kamma, typically we call as panchanantariya kamma. So matricide, killing one's mother, is one of it. So if one does that, basically he is destined to be reborn in the hell realm the very next life. So kind of a rule. Now, dittisampanna pungala, the one with right view, is not going to the hell realm. That means he can't do this kind of a crime. He's unable to do that. His mind will never come to such a gross state. It can't turn into such a gross state. So typically he protects the sila without much trouble. Now there may be instances that he might break precepts, but not a devastating manner. But maybe due to lack of mindfulness, there may be certain transgressions, but immediately he is trying to correct it. So that is one of the characteristics attributed to the Sotapannas and the other nobles. So whatever transgression they may do are not having the potential to take them to the hell realm. So that means they might do only very minor mistakes, not the huge, really grave kind of mistakes, offenses. Rather, they might do some mistakes which are minor mistakes. Even for them, they will immediately try to correct it. Now, mataran jivitavoropeya, pitaran jivitavoropeya, arahantan jivitavoropeya. Now, these are all we know, that killing one's mother, killing one's father, and killing an arahant. So none of these are possible by a person with right view. So as a fact, now Buddha say, okay, you should know these things. As a matter of fact, these are the truth. This is the possibility, or rather here we can say the impossibility. You should know these are impossible. A person with right view will never do these things. It is impossible. So we should know that. But anyway, an uninstructed person A worldly person might get into it. He might kill his mother, he might kill his father, he might kill an arahant, so it might be possible. And then, Attanametang anamakaso, yandittisampanno pungalo, duttachitto, tathagatas lohitang upadeya, netan thanang vijjatiti pajanati. It is impossible, it cannot happen that a person possessing right view could with a mind of hate shed a Tathagata's blood. There is no such possibility. Now that's also very interesting. Now we all know that while Buddha was walking under the Gijjakuta rock, that when Devadatta put a stone, and ultimately it hit Buddha, part of it hit the Buddha's leg, and there is a bleeding happen. That is with the hateful mind. Venerable Devadatta did it with hateful mind. So that we know that it's the Lohituppada, the heinous crime that he has conducted, he is destined to basically go to the hell realm. But the Jivaka is actually the physician, the king's physician. He has actually treated the Buddha. Probably he has taken out rotten blood or something, and he might have done that, but it is with the correct attitude. He want to heal the Buddha. He want to remedy the wound. So here, an interesting point here is that with mind of hate, a person with right view can't shed Tathagata's blood with the mind of hate. He will never do it. So basically it is interesting that when one becomes a Sotapanna, he has unwavering faith towards the Buddha. He has a lot of heartfelt gratitude towards the Buddha, because he knows how rare this opportunity is, how much he was wandering in this samsara, and what a kind of a relief now he is having because of the Buddha's teaching, because of following the Buddha. So he has so much of gratitude towards the Buddha. Now he can never do any harm towards the Buddha, but rather he may even give his life towards him. To that much, he is so confident, so faithful towards the Buddha. So he will never change even the teacher that will come next later. And he will only take Buddha as his refuge. So such a confidence, such a faith is well established in the one with right view. So he will never, with the mind of hate, would shed Buddha's blood. But one with wrong view and who is a worldly person might get into that thing. He may do that. Like Venerable Devadatta. And Attana metang anamakasu yan dittisampanno pungalo sanghang bindeya netan thanang vijjati pajanati. The fifth heinous crime, that is the sangha beda, schism among the sangha, schism in the sangha. So that will never done by the dittisampanna pungala, the one with the right view. But one with the wrong view, one with the defilements, lot of defilements, and who is the worldly person, who might do that? Because he don't understand the importance of the accord, importance of the peace among the sangha. He might get into some petty reasons and he might get into a schism, but a noble person would never do it. But these are all what we have discussed, these five we typically know as the five heinous crimes, which are distinct to take someone to the hell realm. Now the interesting sixth one is also there. Attanametang anamakaso yan dittisampanno pungalo anyang sattharang uddiseya netan thanang vijjati iti pajanati. He understand it is impossible, it cannot happen that a person possessing right view might acknowledge another teacher. There is no such possibility, because he has so much of faith is so confident about the Buddha, Buddha's, his teaching. So he take only the Buddha as his teacher, not any other person as his teacher. So basically he won't take completely different faith. There may be other teachers who are talking different faith, and he will never take such faith. Now say for example, in today's terms, they people are there who are attracted to various other teachers, various other religions. And sometimes they are tempted to do it using money or some other material gifts. So they may immediately change the faith, but it may not happen to a dittisampanna pungala. It may not happen to a noble person. He considers Buddha as his sole teacher. He is so confident. He is so grateful. And he is having that unwavering kind of faith. And actually, probably you can remember in the Ratana Sutta, there is a statement, Sahavasa Dasana Sampadaya Tayasu Dhamma Jahita Bhavanti Sakkaya Ditti Vichikichitancha Silabbatang Vapi Yadatti Kinchi Chatuha Thanehicha Vipamuttu. So this term, Chatuha Chachabi Thanani Ababbokatu. I think that is the, right? Chachabi Thanani Ababbokatu. So this six places or six activities that impossible to do are these six activities. Killing one's mother, killing one's father, killing the arahants, and shedding Buddha's blood with hateful mind, and then doing the schism among the Sangha. And then the last one, the sixth one, is that you take someone else, some another teacher as one's teacher. So these six activities are impossible by the noble person. It's repeated in the Ratana Sutta as well. And then, now these are again related to the, all are related to the Dittisampanna Pungala, all are related to what we call one with correct wisdom, one with correct view. Now some different kinds of rules are introduced into this sutta. Attanametang anavakaso yang ekissa lokadhatuya dve arahanto samma sambuddha apubbang acharimang uppajjayyung netan thanang vijatiti pajanati. It is impossible, it cannot happen that two accomplished ones, fully enlightened ones, that means Buddhas, could arise contemporaneously in one world system. There is no such possibility. So at the same time, having two Buddhas, two Sammasambuddhas in this world is impossible. So only one Buddha is possible to have, but no two Buddhas at the same time. Not even a Paccheka Buddha during the Sammasambuddha's time. So when Sammasambuddha is available, there can't be a Paccheka Buddha even. There can't be another Buddha even. So only one Sammasambuddha is possible in a world system. It's a kind of a rule, it is established here, mentioned here, and a kind of matter of fact, we need to accept it, understand it. And then Attanametang Anavakaso yang ekissa lokadhatuya dve rajano chakkavattino apubbang acharimang uppajjayyung netan thanang vijjatiti pajanati. Similarly, a particular world system can't have two wheel turning monarchs. Probably there may be one possible. Typically there are no at all, but if happening, only one is possible. A wheel turning monarch can only be one in a particular world system. There can't be two. And now if you are coming towards the gender-related attributes are explained here. Attanametang anavakaso yang itti arahang assa samma sambuddho netan thanang ujjatiti pajanati. It is impossible, it cannot happen that a woman would be an accomplished one, a fully enlightened one. There is no such possibility. It is possible that a man might be an accomplished one, a fully enlightened one. It is possible. And similarly, it is mentioned about the Chakravarti, that means the wheel-turning monarch, Sakka, the position of the Sakka, the god Sakka, and then the Mara, the position of the Mara, and the position of the Brahma. Now, these are few interesting areas. So, why these things are included? Are they really important? Why it is necessary to know? So these are kind of controversial points that one can argue. Some say these were not available in the original sutta, but somewhere in the way those are introduced. That is one argument. The other thing is that it doesn't mean that a woman can never be a Buddha or Sakka or kind of Mara or anyone. Rather, she has a wish that I may become a Buddha in the future. Then slowly, according to her wish, she'll turn her gender in the future life. Then he be a man, continue to be a man for some time, and ultimately in the last life, when he is destined to be a Buddha, he'll be a man and he can become a Buddha. So therefore, the changing of gender can happen on the way. Changing of gender can happen from life to life. It is not that every time a woman will be a woman forever. A man will be a man forever. So gender change can happen while in this sansaric journey. But during the time that one become a Sammasambuddha, before the Sammasambuddha, in that last life, he'll be a man. So this is a kind of a rule it is introduced. Similarly, Chakravarti, the wheel-turning monarch, also a man. And Sakka, also a man. Mara, also a man. Brahma, the chief Brahma, what we call the Mahabrahma, is also a man. Now these are, anyway, people might argue about this. But as a matter of fact, these were introduced in this sutta. And not to look down the feminine community, but I feel these are kind of matter of fact, those are introduced. The other things that we have to discuss are related to the sila. So I will discuss those next week. And with that, I'll conclude today's sutta teaching session. Now I open the session for questions.
Any Thank question? You, Bhante. Yeah. I don't see any hands being raised. Today we have a smaller community who are listening as well. Are there any questions from your side?
Our side also don't have any questions. All seems accepting what is possible and what is impossible. No arguments. So all are pretty sure about it. They have heard about it. No arguments, no controversial points, all accept.
Yes. So the questions that rose came to my mind was the very last few. That was stated as women cannot possess these type of roles per se, and I, as a child, I have heard of that, and I always wonder why. So these are probably certain reasons, or is there any reasons that, or should we just take it as because it being said so?
So that is why those are. Little bit controversial in a way that one can argue why it is so. So we also can't find a really valid reason. But on the other hand, what Bhikkhu Bodhi made the comment is that assume that in today's life a person is a woman, but she has a wish to become a Buddha. So if that wish is there continuously, very affirmative way, then she may change the gender in the long run, in the future life. It may happen as a matter of fact, either willingly changing or as a matter of fact it is changing, will happen. And during the time that he is going to be a Buddha, he will be born as a man, as a male, and then he will become the Buddha. And I heard that even our Buddha, one time in a very, very long time ago, was a woman, and then she determined to be the Buddha and again determined to be a man and made a wish, and then next time she has turned into a man. So likewise, I have heard very long time ago such incident has happened. In those days, the Purana Gotama was the previous Buddha in front of him, that kind of a wish has happened. Something, a kind of a vague story I can remember. I was reading in a book talking about the Buddha's lineages or something like that. So these things are possible. And the other thing is that, you know, that even certain stories, sometimes if someone is getting into adultery, as a result of that, there may be various different kinds of remaining karmic results, karmic potency. It also can change one's gender, one become a neuter or something like that. So those are also possible. So likewise, different these gender changes are certain areas that sometimes attributed to the karmic consequences. And typically accepted norm or the belief is that one has to be a if one needs to be a Buddha, Sakka, Chakravarti, the will turning monarch, you have to be a man. A kind of a matter of fact, it is being accepted.
Very good, Patrick. Thank you. There is one hand here.
Yeah.
I think Manesh, you can go and ask your question.
Thank you. Since there was a point came about Sankabeda, I thought there's because there's no other questions from other people and it's a small group.
Yeah.
If you can elaborate on that a little bit, like, because I know in you know, everywhere now we have different temples, and not exactly the same thing is being taught in each one of those. You know, we have to be very careful and figure it out, and which one that we have to go to find the path. Even I had that problem when I was a child. My mother used to take to different temples, and quite contradictory. My mind started arguing about that. But anyway, finally, when I started searching for what is actually the Buddha said, then I figured out, and you know, luckily I managed to listen to Dhammajiva Thero in one point, in one of the talks in Australia, and then figure out the things very differently. So if you can, like, give us an idea, like, I mean, I have some understanding now, like, how to look at, like, when different priests, different sangha does different things, and sometimes it's like contradictory, but I made up my mind, like, because of maybe the practice, that to just ignore and just, you know, it's not something that I have to hang on, or it's not something that I had to hook on and then argue about it, or even within my mind I shouldn't spend time on those things. But then you go to some place, like people used to discuss, you know, in that Sangyavahanse said this Sangyavahanse said this temple said this. I just keep quiet because I know that it's worthless to, you know, talk about those topics. But if you can just give us an idea, like, how we, like, would stay away from being involved in those things, and made up our mind, and what kind of things would be the second question is like, what kind of things would be like considered as Sangha Veda?
Sangha Veda, So Sangha Veda basically is only possible by a higher ordained monk, not by the lay people.
Okay.
Lay people, because we are schism happens when basically when two groups are formed and now they are not willing to do the Vinaya Kammas, not willing to do the Uposatha, not willing to do the, you know, that the Sangha related disciplinary activities together. So they refuse it, they want to do it separately, and now they are not willing to go to the same Sima, that means the place which is established to do these disciplinary activities, they are now refusing to do together. So that is where the schism has happened. It is mentioned that it is only possible by a Upasampada Bhikkhu, higher ordained monk. So the lay people, not to that level, but there may be a possibility that if a lay person get into a kind of a division, now say you hear from one monk, he's talking ill of another monk, now you go to the other monk and talk ill of the previous monk. So likewise, you start dividing them. So that is coming under the what you call the Pesuna Vacha. So Pesuna Vacha, Veramani, Sikkhapadam, Samadhyami. So that is where we are trying to avoid this kind of divisive speech. Rather, we are now trying to make them agreeable, make them unite. So rather than we are trying to divide the people, we are trying to unite the people, talking about the values of the peace, not in division. So the people can get into such kind of division by talking ill of others. So that is the area that we have to be careful as lay people if you are talking. And we need to understand now the monks are also, majority are, say, not arahant, so they also make mistakes. We need to understand their human nature. And again, if they are talking of anything with respect to the Dhamma, there is always some trustworthy sources available. See, now readily the Tipitaka is available, you can even read it easily. Now you can always refer to that, the book, the text, the source is also available. You can find out the sutta, you can find out whatever the matter, the fact that the monk has mentioned. You yourself can do a little research, little exploration of the fact. Then you can understand whether he has made a mistake, or he probably have misunderstood, or is there anything that I have to correct in my side, the what monk has said is correctly true. So therefore, always we have the advantage of referring the suttas, referring the sources that is there. And again, you can ask from another monk where you are trusting, where you have confidence. And again, rather than he taking a side, he also can refer the book, he also can refer the sources, and with evidences he can convince you, okay, in this particular sutta it is mentioned like this, so therefore it should be understood like this. So factually he can prove what is correct. So I think in that way we can avoid any kind of conflicts.
Thank you, Swami Mahasaya, for clearing that point. Thank you.
Yeah. So, since Geshan, we don't have any more questions. You have anything?
Yes.
If you have no more questions, then we'll wind up the session.
It's
okay.
I don't think there is any Maheshwara. I think she basically asked that. And do you have any more? Your hand is still raised.
Okay, now she put it down. Okay, then we'll wind up the session, and I invite Venerable Dhammo Sadda to conduct the formal sharing of merits.
Very fortunate we are to receive this teaching, to listen to this Dhamma that leads to dispassion, to relinquishment of all preparations, and to the cessation of all sankharas. much merit to Swami Nohanse for conducting this session, and for us also being able to listen to this teaching. It is an act of much merit, and therefore we would like to extend these merits to our relatives, to the devas. May our parents and all our relatives share in our merits. May the devas rejoice in our merit making. And may all celestial beings protect this Dhamma and the Buddha Sasana for a long time. And may the fruits, may the seeds of Dhamma that have been planted in our hearts continue growing, producing path, fruition, and Nibbana. Now let us recite the traditional Pali verses for the sharing of merits.
Etavata chamehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe deva anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Etavata chamehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe bhuta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Etavata chamehi sambhatam punya sampadam sabbe satta anumodantu sabba sampatti siddhya. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu sasanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu desanam. Akasattha ca bhummattha devanaga mahiddhika punyantam anumoditva chiram rakkhantu mamparam. Idango nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idango nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Idango nyati nang hotu sukita hontu nyatayo. Imina punya kammene mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammene mame bala samagamo. Satang samagamo hotu yava nibbana pattiya. Imina punya kammena mame bala samagamo.
Satang samagamo hotu
yava nibbana pattiya. Sadhu, sadhu, sadhu.
Sukhi hotu nibbana paccayo hoti. Sukhi hotu nibbana paccayo hoti. Sukhi hotu.
Thank you, Bhante. And there is one more notice. Say thank you very much, Bhante, for your teaching. We wish you all a very happy new year and for the monks as well.
Yeah, Theravan Sarnai, we too wish you a very happy new year. Theravan Sarnai. Theravan Sarnai. Yeah, Theravan Sarnai. Okay.